Hello everyone. Again, my name is Bridget Keough, and I'll be talking about certified older adult peer specialists. So I won't be focusing on a particular research study, but more so the implementation of a program designed to meet the growing need of older adults with behavioral health disorders. Dr. Zabritsky and I have no relationships to disclose. And the agenda for this talk is a background on the public health imperative, which we've heard a great deal about already, of co-occurring physical and mental health issues of older adults, a description of what certified older adult peer specialists are, some bidirectional outcomes, and an internship development program, and then overall program outcomes. So as we've talked about, there are issues in aging, especially when one already has a mental health diagnosis. And the physical health concerns that go along with that are often metabolic disorders and cardiovascular disease. And of course, these are associated with modifiable risk factors, including tobacco use, obesity, and side effects of psychiatric medications. Physical and behavioral health services have a history of poor integration, and this can be caused by the fact that physical and behavioral health services are financed separately and often delivered in separate settings. An interesting study found that 11% of Medicaid beneficiaries with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder received a comprehensive physical examination in the last year. And fewer than 50% of those individuals with taking antipsychotic medication received annual labs monitoring. And this is very concerning, especially since we know that this is an annual recommendation for anyone taking antipsychotic medication. So certified older adult peer specialists, which you'll hear me refer to as COPES, are really uniquely trained to respond to these issues of engagement and advocacy in physical and behavioral health issues. And so specifically with older adults, approximately 5.8 to 8 million Americans over the age of 65 have a mental or substance use disorder. And the literature suggests that this is really a low estimate, partly due to the fact that older adults, as we've heard, don't readily seek the services for this type of, for these issues. The IOM estimates that this will increase, especially as the baby boomers continue to age into the system. And older adults with behavioral health disorders have greater disability. They have poorer health outcomes, higher rates of hospitalization, and emergency department visits. So it results in a per-person cost that is approximately 47 to 200% higher for older adults with behavioral health disorders, compared with their peers who do not have a diagnosis. And again, just as the baby boomers age into the system, mental health programs will really see a formidable number of individuals who have issues both physical and mental and substance use disorder related. So there's a real need to increase the capacity to treat this population, and we know that there's a lack of geriatric-oriented physical and mental health clinicians. More than 50% of the fellowship positions in geriatric medicine or psychiatry go unfilled each year, and a small number of psychologists really focus on geriatrics in practice. And researchers have said that clinical capacity could be increased by training health coaches and lay community health workers to provide screening and brief interventions to fill this gap in need. And again, this is where we think COPES really fits in. So just a background of the initiative. Our center at Penn is the Center for Mental Health Policy and Services Research. And our mission is to improve the quality of care outcomes and quality of life for individuals with long-term psychiatric disabilities. We have a multidisciplinary group of faculty and staff, We study organization, financing, management, and delivery of care. And we really work with people across the lifespan from the School District of Philadelphia and autism education and programming to older adults. And then our great partner in all of this is the Pennsylvania Office of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services, or OMSAS. And I just want to highlight that they do include older adults in their overall goals to assure behavioral health services and supports to accommodate the needs of older adults. They do have a older adult planning council that meets regularly and is really dedicated to these issues, and they are also supportive of the Certified Older Adult Peer Specialist Program, advocating for expanded training, for Medicare reimbursement for services, and using the Aging Block Grant funding to support training and services as well. So some of you here may be familiar with Certified Peer Specialists. They differ by state in terms of their training and their credentials, but in Pennsylvania, a Certified Peer Specialist is someone in recovery from a mental health or substance use disorder, and they've completed a 2-week training delivered by Recovery Innovations. Their services are Medicaid reimbursable in Pennsylvania, and their training really focuses on mental health recovery as a core value, but they also receive training on active listening, cultural competency, appropriate self-disclosure, and really inspiring hope and modeling behaviors. They're role models, as I mentioned, and they can work wherever behavioral health services are delivered. So a certified older adult peer specialist is someone who is also in recovery from a mental illness or substance use disorder. They are typically older than 50, or they have a demonstrated interest in serving the needs of older adults. So for example, I'm a certified older adult peer specialist facilitator. I'm clearly not an older adult yet, but we do find that there are people working in mental health services that are really dedicated to working with older adults, even if they're not an older adult themselves. The COPES training is 2 days. It's 3 days, an 18-hour training. And COPES also are certified peer specialists. So they initially go through the 2-week CPS training, and then they complete our training. And this is just a picture of our recent COPES facilitator graduate group. So COPES support older adults with behavioral health issues in a variety of ways. They provide crisis support by assessing an event, modeling coping skills, and facilitating referral processes if needed. They also work with older adults in developing community roles and natural supports, maybe showing an older adult how to get to the library via a bus if the older adult has recently lost his or her license, and really helping them to integrate and stay involved in the community. They provide individual advocacy. They'll go to a doctor's appointment with an older adult, help them prepare questions for the doctor. As we know, those doctor visits go really quickly, so being prepared is always a good thing. They also provide self-help and self-improvement, helping to develop and monitor one's goals. A lot of certified older adult peer specialists are also trained in wellness recovery action plans, or RAP plans. And just a brief overview of the program development. It started in 2008 through a Transformation Transfer Initiative grant through the National Association of State Mental Health Program Directors, or NASHPID. And that's where the peer specialist curriculum was developed and the first training took place. And then as the years went on, we received more funding and developed a train-the-trainer program and really expanded trainings throughout Pennsylvania. So there have been trainings in every segment of the state. Then a second grant was awarded in 2011 to support an initiative with the state of New Jersey, and we cross-trained certified older adult peer specialists with Dr. Peggy Swarbrick's wellness coaching curriculum. And so COPES and PA were trained in wellness coaching, and then wellness coaches in New Jersey were trained as certified older adult peer specialists. And then in 2013, we received some funding to develop an internship program, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And then last year, we trained COPES in Massachusetts, which was really exciting. And we're also expanding the internship program this year. So the conceptual framework, we've talked a lot about social connectedness and its importance, especially with the older adult population. A meta-analysis of 148 studies said that social connectedness strongly influences the mortality in older adults. Social connectedness can be as important as other risk factors, including smoking, obesity, and social inactivity. And especially when we know suicidality can be a real big issue in older adults. The interpersonal theory of suicide, I think, speaks really well to the COPES program, in that a certified older adult peer specialist working with an older adult can mediate the effects of thwarted belongingness and perceived burdensomeness, which they say are really strong predictors for suicide in later life. So the COPES training, we've kind of refined it over the years. We have an application form, and we ask that people submit their certified peer specialist certificate, as well as answer some personal statements. These are really important, especially if someone's a younger adult who wants to show that they have a demonstrated interest in working with older adults. We have three training vendors that we've worked with over the years, and they're very strong partners. And they're located in the Southeast, Central, and in the western part of the state. As I mentioned, the training is 3 days, 18 hours, and it's facilitated by two COPES trainers, and we're really dedicated to the fact that one trainer must be a peer, someone with lived experience. And so there are three levels of trainers. An associate level is someone who's kind of a newly trained facilitator who must train with a more seasoned facilitator, which would be the master level peer facilitator. And then there are non-peer facilitators, which is what I would be considered. And so we really have a wide range of facilitators to meet the needs of the class. We usually do 20 trainees per class, and it's a group of it's a mix of didactic and group learning activities. The curriculum is broken out in pretty strategically. The first day is really background: what is normal aging? We talked about the perceptions in older adults that depression is a normal part of aging. And on this day, we really tackle those misconceptions and give some prevalence rates, and it's a strong statistics day, which can get a little dry, so we try to build in some group activities. The second day is clinical issues, where we talk about depression, anxiety, addictive disorders, and trauma and suicide. And then implementation is day three, where we talk about motivational interviewing. We just added positive psychology to this curriculum, and also we invite partners in the community wherever we do the training that come and speak about services available in aging and mental health. So these are just some testimonials from trainees. I think the last one speaks very well to the training. I learned to connect in a different way. My eyes were open to how they, older adults, grew up, gave me a different, fresh perspective, and I am modeling these approaches for other staff. In the personal statements, we often hear that the growing number of older adults that their place of work sees is the reason they're applying. They see the need. So just in the few remaining minutes, I'll just touch on the internship program. So when someone comes into the training, we ask if they're employed or not. And if they're not employed, and if they're interested in employment, we take their information and then try to build internships based on their interests. So this is just a list of some of the places that certified older adult peer specialists already work in. And then for those who are unemployed or underemployed, we've developed an internship program that can be as short as 8 weeks or as long as 16 weeks. They're developed in collaboration with the certified older adult peer specialist as well as our community partners. And the goals are really to enhance services for older adults and also give a certified older adult peer specialist real experience and to really broaden an understanding of their role in the continuum of care. For anyone participating in the internship program, so any older adult that the COPE serves, we ask them to complete a PHQ-9 questionnaire, and we also do focus groups at the end. So briefly, we've done three internships. The first was Project Health in Philadelphia. It's a federally qualified health center that is provides both physical and behavioral health services. And so our COPES intern at this site conducted a group called Issues in Aging for Older Adults. The first session, she asked older adults to write down their specific concerns or interests, what they would like to learn. She put them in a hat and then developed a curriculum in collaboration with myself, who was the offsite supervisor. And some of those topics were sexuality and aging, preparing for a doctor's visit, grief and loss were some of the main ones. And then the second internship was with Reading Housing Authority, and Reading, Pennsylvania has really been a strong partner in this. They have an overall low socioeconomic status. It was an industrial city that has since lost a lot of industrial activity, and they have a growing number of older adults. And they did a community assessment which highlighted the need for this type of service. And so we partnered with a peer specialist provider as well as Reading Housing Authority, and the intern worked in two senior high-rises facilitating a psychoeducational group. And in this internship, the person really used the COPES curriculum as a guide for the group. And then again in Reading, we just finished up an internship at Burke's Encore Senior Center. So internship feedback based on the focus groups. So really unanimously, older adults who participated in these psychoeducational groups with the certified older adult peer specialist rated the program a 5 being the best. They felt that their privacy was respected and their confidentiality was honored, which was really important to us. We think we're all very concerned about our privacy, but I think older adults especially. And they also expressed that before working with a certified older adult peer specialist, they didn't feel that they really utilized the community to its full extent, which we were really happy to see. Some sessions like cooking, exercise groups, and dealing with grief were some of the favorite classes. So some outcomes that I've already mentioned are cross-training with Rutgers Wellness Coaching Curriculum, internships that were created in three different arenas, and outcomes of improved social connectedness and health-related quality of life. And we've also, through this process, developed supervision, job training, and technical assistance protocols. And then just to close, there's some bidirectional outcomes. The older adults receiving services from COPES really benefit, but also the COPES themselves. And for example, working with peers keeps me motivated to excel in my own recovery. We hear this a lot. So we'd like to continue delivering COPES trainings throughout the state of Pennsylvania, particularly Erie County is in great need. They have a really high proportion of older adults in their population and not a lot of mental health services. So that's one of our goals. We'd like to implement COPES in other states. Again, we've trained in New Jersey, Massachusetts, but we'd like to expand that. And we'd like to develop more internships in more settings, advocate for Medicare funding for peer specialist services, and offer COPE services to older adults who screen positive for psychiatric disabilities through PASSR, which is the pre-admission screening and resident review for long-term care. Just like to thank our funders, and here's our contact information. Ask any questions after, sure.
Wow, so we had a really interesting morning. I just wanted to summarize in our session today on mental health and aging. Our different presenters, we started out talking about resilience and the importance of resources that are used differently within different gender groups. Then we went into looking at transgender adults and what the experience is in terms of aging, and particularly the impact of discrimination on age and gender. And then we went into talking about underutilization, help-seeking behaviors of older adults, and what are some of the ways to manage those. And then finally, we finished off looking at peer facilitators and really implementing what has been kind of a recurrent thought, which is the importance of social connectedness and decreasing loneliness and isolation in impacting mental health among the older adults. So with that, we have a few minutes for questions. I'd like to open it up to the group. Are there any particular questions? Yes.
Relationship to the formal time of the behavioral health specialist, so they're not running, kind of a PA to a certain level of community?
Yeah, yeah. So for each internship site, there was an on-site supervisor, which was a clinician. So the COPE always has a direct supervision. And I don't think, we've had any issues with boundary crossing or any of that, but it's certainly a concern that we try to manage.
Has there been any information to express that? I mean, I was thinking not to express concern that they want to keep a tight rein on what the peers are doing.
Not really. I would say we've done a lot of peer work with states. For example, in Delaware, we implemented a trauma-informed system of care where we did assessments and we trained peers to deliver the trauma assessment for adults. And so I think peers are really well suited to do that initial screening because they're less threatening and they have lived experience. And we see that the clinicians are really grateful because the peer after the screening, won't divulge any personal information, but will knock on the clinician's door and say, hey, just let you know that this person, has lived this kind of trauma. And it's really a very good partnership, I think. I think the biggest issue is when clinicians don't understand the peer role. And so that's where the internship development piece in the beginning with in-person meetings and providing information to clinicians is really critical.
I have questions for everybody. Just because we're on this, I was fascinated with that. And it sounds like you're going to take it to another area of Pennsylvania. It's not like you've really now anchored it, tested it, refined it, it's in a good stage. Are you going to expand it? Will you share it? Would you share it to other states? Where do you see the vision for it?
Yes, certainly. We would love to see it in every state because we think this is a really affordable way to keep old adults in their home and to prevent issues of suicide and other things. The curriculum, the initial curriculum is available in the public domain. And I would just take my email.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put my email just in case I can't find it. But we've made iterations since. But we would love to see this expand, certainly.
Any other questions? Yeah.
On the page 89, do you do it before and after, like say 6 months later to see if they're moving to the left?
Yes, we do. Well, we've done prior to the internship and then post-internship 16 weeks after. We have very small sample sizes, which is why we didn't share it today. But that's something that we're we'd like to continue to do with these groups of individuals to see if there's continued improvement.
Yeah.
So can I go to
please? Please, go ahead.
So I really appreciate the village format, and was never aware that that community is so big. That's fascinating. And the startling thing in your slide was that depression is considered the norm of aging. And it, because you did so many focus groups, did it come out why they think that's the norm? And then the problem of what depression does to a person, so they don't want to interact. They want to hibernate. We know what depression feels like, even if we've only felt it for 1 or 2 days. So it's kind of a catch-22. Can you explain any more what might have come out in the focus groups around that dilemma?
Of why they feel it's a natural part of aging, or?
Both, that part of aging, and then how to really, you have that whole slide of the uncertainty of when and how to seek help, but they don't feel motivated, so it isn't even just when and how to get the inertia to do it. That they think it's okay to feel depressed, it's normal?
There is like a degree of acceptance, and the reasons that came out, first, your friends start to die, your spouse dies. For men, a lot of it with retirement, you have this money coming in, you have an identity that's associated with your job, and then that just disappears, then you go to this place, and who really cares if you did it, you know?
Yeah.
And then one woman was talking about there's chemical reasons and just physiological reasons in your body, and so, and all of that seems to become normative, you know, it's true. I shouldn't say that everyone thought that depression was a normal part of aging, but they resigned themselves to the fact that these things are happening, and this is very common. And as far as the getting out there, in the community specifically, there was so much community support, and it's so active that if somebody's behavior changed like that, there would be a lot of outreach.
Okay.
From peers, less from direct support groups or formal care. Is that an interception?
Yeah, you can get there for
Yeah.
But just to add to that, is the underutilization speaks to me of underdiagnosis as well.
Yes.
I think when individuals go to primary care, mental health assessment should be as standard as health as a physical. And that's not done because even the general practitioners don't know how to look at depression. I mean, some of them think it's normal. They'll say it's normal. They're old. What do you expect? You know. So I think it's kind of a thing where I think we need more behaviorists. I mean, not to retrain GPs, but bring in behaviorists within the primary care setting, which I think the trend is happening now. Might speak a little bit more to not making it a norm, but more of a standardized.
Well, and there here really addressed because this. There's usually lots of support groups in places, but even to get them to go to a support group is hard. So you find a peer and say, hey, join it, you know, it's really, it's the super system.
Anything else? Yes.
Very short. Wouldn't you say, though, that when a group of Americans talk about the word depression, that you've got a whole zoo of possible means when they're talking? Right. So what they really mean when they say it's normal may not be talking about clinical depression.
Right, and that's true, and that was kind of one of those gray areas, you know, and some of us can't have knowledge. Maybe some people are still coping with it, they just want to be alone for a while.
And I think that's really important that, as someone mentioned, depression can be acute just for a day, and it makes sense because you just lost, you know, a dear loved person. So to recognize it's okay to be depressed is different from normalizing it, but it's when it continues for a very long time that having this outreach program is something very beneficial. Yeah.
I have one for the transgender. I really appreciate you must have a great gender community. I'm from Hawaii. We have a very good community there that's very helpful. But a distinction, you use the cutoff at 50. We know the Older American Act uses 60. We know 65 is Medicare. So by using 50, a lot of people don't think of themselves as old, and I sort of saw, I don't know if it was muddled by age or, did you do a run with 60-year-olds and older and keep the 50 out, or, because the discrimination, of course, of the gender was obvious, and like the age can seem a little puzzling.
Well, it's been a small sample that, you know, doing 50 and older and you know, like, you know, would be able to recruit the different target and look at, you know, the highest but, you know, we still saw that being a position still a different portion talking about age-related.
But now you have them, you can follow them for a
long
time. Yeah. You have them before they will.
I mean, it wasn't the goal of overall study, it was the goal of older adults, so it's interesting that we got, we're able to get that many, and, you know, it's definitely a population.
Well, we're over our time. If you have any other questions, you're welcome to come over in the front. Thanks so much for joining us this session.